Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is indeed the broadcast for October 13th in the year of our Lord, 2015. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple, ladies and gentlemen, how we roll. We want to use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America to restore the Republic. We don't need a revolution. Go study history. Those don't turn out very well most of the time. But a restitution or a restoration is the answer. The checks and balances put in place by our founders, the supreme law, that's the way we're going to get it done. You and I need to educate towards and do everything we can to promote the protection of life, liberty, and property. And the promotion of God, family, and country. Speaking of the protection of life, you know, there's this big debate, Kurt, that took place in the news about Donald Trump and crew. And they had a plant in the audience for CNN slash the Jeb Bush staff. And basically they promoted Hillary and they downed Trump over women's issues. So Hillary's the stand up for women. And don't worry about Bill, okay? Bill's just in Vegas while Hillary's at the debate tonight. We won't even go into where and what he's doing. I'm just saying it's kind of strange. And Trump's the bad guy on women, but Hillary's fine and so is Bill. You got that? The mainstream press is off their rockers, but the woman who spoke out on this and basically played games with Trump regarding this issue, she tried to pretend she was just a woman in the audience, but she really wasn't. She was a basically hired gun for this job to make Trump look bad. Now, I'm not interested in defending Trump on this issue. What I'm interested in is the pro-life issue, Kurt. She talked about her body, and we'll get to our guest in just a second. She talked about her body. She has the right to do whatever she wants to with her body. Kurt, you want to respond to that first?
Well, you know, the bottom line is, like you pointed out last hour, you know, if Trump had come back and said, you know, you're talking about your body, but what happens if you do get pregnant? Then you're okay to kill a new little baby? You know, that's just fine, but you're, you know, trying to stand up for your body, you know? I mean, when you couch it in those terms, the lady wouldn't have anywhere to go, would she? You know, and that's the bottom line with that whole... you know, abortion, you know, pro-choice.
Okay, so see if you can tell who this voice is, Kurt. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Well, if it's all the same to you, Mr. Trump, Hillary, I'd rather you stop cherishing women and start respecting women.
All right, there you go. Hillary going to debate women with Trump?
If you become president, will a woman make the same as a man? And do I get to choose what I do with my body?
Do I get to choose what I do with my body? And that's what I want to talk about today. And I know it sounds like, Sam, what are you talking about? Well, I want to talk about this because I think it directly applies. There seems to be a disconnect. And I'm going
to
point out this disconnect.
You don't get to choose what you do with your body, for example.
Well, that's the whole point.
You got to pay taxes out the yin-yang to, you know, support all these government programs forever, you know, but hey, your body's supposed to be the state's.
Yeah, when it comes to Barack care, you know, I can't do what I want with my body. I'm forced to have insurance on my body.
You got
to
do it.
Now, it gets worse, though, because when we talk about the vaccine debate against the pro-death or abortion debate, we got a real disconnect here. And at first, somebody would say, you know, and I don't care if you're how you are on the issue of this idea what a woman can do with her body. A lot of people are like, I think she should be able to do with her body what she wants. Now we need to talk about the consequences, though. She can be involved sexually if she wants to, I guess. You know, people can violate the commandments of God if they choose. But what about the consequences when, hey, you got a baby here now. Are you going to be able to have the authority to kill that and the right of doing what you want with your body? And now that relates directly to the vaccination discussion. Because the forced jab would say, I don't have the right to do with what I want with my body. So a woman can be involved sexually and then murder a baby because it's her body. But yet I can't refuse the jab because it's my body. Alan Phillips, welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Pleasure and honor to be here with you, Sam, as always. Boy, I've just jumping at the bit here to
all right, before we let you roll, though, just so people know, Alan Phillips is a well-known vaccine rights attorney. He's got two primary websites that you need to know about, vaccinerights.com and pandemicresponseproject.com. And, you know, to me, this issue about what people can do with their body is a very sticky one, because I'm not denying that people can make choices as they choose, and I think they should. And at first, somebody would say to me, well, Sam, if a woman can choose to be involved sexually, then, you know what, you should be able to choose to not take the jab. Fine. Now you're pro-choice, right, Sam? And now what we got to do is discuss consequences of one's actions in relation to what choices we have. And with that, let's start, Alan Phillips. What do you say, sir? Isn't there a big disconnect here?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment on the first part of the discussion here. You know, and there's two parts to this, so don't jump in after the first part.
Sure.
I would say not a woman. I would say a person should have the right to decide what to do with their body.
Okay, now let me just stop you there, though. It seems to be a disconnect between a men and women, though, huh?
Right, but you got to.
And you bring up person, and I agree.
You got to hear the second half to understand my point here, though. You know, that's fine to decide to do what you want to do with your body, but when you're pregnant, it's no longer just your body. And this is, I think, another, not the disconnect you were talking about, and let's definitely come right back to that, but this is another, I think, disconnect. Like, just because a child is being formed and growing within your body, is it really your body, or is it another body that is, you know, making use of your body to grow and come into being and so forth? I mean, we can quibble over definitions, and that's part of the problem, I think, with the whole abortion debate, is people have different concepts and definitions about some of the same terms they're using, and I think that fuels some of the debate and confusion here. But it's really, and this is just my opinion, so take that for what it's worth, personal opinion, but it's no longer just your body when you're pregnant.
Well, let me ask you a question. How come when they want you to believe it's just a blob of tissue and they can murder it in the name of, quote, choice, when it's really a pro-death policy? I agree that the woman can be involved how she chooses. What she cannot do, in my humble opinion, is destroy life to negate the consequence of her actions. That's number one. Number two, how come when it's pro-death time, they want to pretend it's just a blob of tissue and it's not a person? But when it comes to, let's say, that a woman that's pregnant gets murdered, don't they call it a double homicide?
Well, that's a real interesting
point, wondering.
Sam. It's a real interesting point. I don't have a clear answer for you. It's outside of my area of expertise, but I do recall hearing discussions about this point, and the laws have been written differently in different states at different times, is my recollection, that part of the difficulty is in earlier stages of the evolution of law or earlier forms of law, a person was not considered a person in terms of having legal rights until after the person was born, and of course a lot of people were very upset about that. And so laws have been changed in many states, from what I understand, to redefine the terms again, so that if a pregnant woman is murdered, it would be considered double homicide. But this again comes back to the point I was making a couple of minutes ago, although on this point it's definitions in terms of the law or legal definitions. And so, you know, we as a society, through our legislators, have the ability, in theory, to decide collectively how we want to define terms, where we want to draw the lines, and so forth. And I think there has been, my understanding is, again, it's outside of my area of expertise, but my understanding is there's been a greater recognition in recent years and decades, and laws changing accordingly, to recognize the unborn child legally as a separate entity.
And I think there should certainly be that, but I also think it's an interesting disconnect, though. This woman can get on the campaign stage or on the campaign trail and try to attack Trump over his treatment of women by saying, you know what, am I going to be able to do what I want to with my body? And she sits there with her hands on her hips, looking very, I don't know what you want to call it, trying to look like the female playing her role. But what if the same person was on the campaign stage talking about my right not to take the jab? Not to be forced to take vaccinations.
Yeah, and the problem with trying to make comparisons between vaccines and or analogies and anything else is that vaccines are unique in one way in particular that renders most analogies, not really very effective. And the theory is, now, I'm talking about the modern mainstream medical view, not my personal view of reality here. But this is the reason that vaccines are different is this belief that your vaccine protects other people.
Now, so, if we start out with a lie, though, in other words, a false premise, will never come to the knowledge of the truth, or we'll never be able to win the debate on facts, right?
Well, there's a real interesting broader issue here. Law, in terms of the legislators and the courts, legislatures and the courts, and as it pertains to healthcare policy and law, is driven by mainstream medicine. So we have a real talk about disconnect here. Mainstream medicine, and there are wonderful people working in the mainstream medical field, so don't get me wrong on this, but it is a system that is severely corrupt. And this is not a personal opinion. You can go to the...
All right, hold on. We'll talk about it. Alan Phillips with us, attorney at law, vaccinerights.com, pandemicrespenseproject.com, on Liberty Roundtable Live.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Sometimes there's a great disparity in what we think is logical and how the law really works. And it's important for us to understand how the law really works and how the law really treats issues, because that's the framework, sad to say, many times we must work in if we want to have effective change. Alan Phillips, attorney at law, vaccinerights.com and pandemicresponseproject.com, chiming in on this. And one, we can't really make comparisons when it comes to vaccine rights with other issues, because many times the comparisons fall apart for a variety of reasons. However, understanding how the law works and how the words are used in law and how that relates to your life is critical in your understanding and is vitally important if you want to affect real change, Alan, as you were saying before the break.
Well, and I want to clarify, Sam, that I'm not saying that the that there is a disconnect. You know, that that I do agree with what I think I hear you saying, that it's contradictory to say a woman has a right to decide to do with what she wants to with her body, but everybody has to get vaccinated. You know, I do think there's a contradiction there. But what I'm saying is that one of the responses to that that I think weakens the analogy, doesn't ruin it by any means, but I think weakens it a bit, is this idea that, well, your vaccine protects other people, so you have this social obligation to, you know, get vaccinated even if you don't want to for yourself. You have to do it for everybody else. You know, we can debate what does the medical literature really say about that, and bottom line is it contradicts that theory over and over and over again. But I was making the point that the legal system, the courts and the legislatures, as it pertains to healthcare policy and law, is driven by mainstream medicine. And the problem with that, in a perfect world, that would be fine, but we have a severely corrupt mainstream medicine. And you can go to the U.S. Department of Justice website, and you can look up these $100 million and even billion-dollar criminal fines. This is an industry that not only pushes moral and ethical boundaries, but criminal legal boundaries. And they pay the fines, and it's getting worse and worse. You know, they're paying more fines and bigger fines over time. And the reason they do this is sort of obvious. Nobody goes to jail despite these being enormous criminal fines, and there's a net profit. So there really is no conscience at the helm in the pharmaceutical industry. Not that this is limited to only the pharmaceutical industry, but for purposes of vaccines, that's what, you know, a major piece here. So we as a society, we have got to focus on and expose this corruption in whatever manner it takes, put a light on it until mainstream medicine is forced to begin to reform. And once that happens, we've got a much better chance of getting correct answers and solutions from the courts and the legislatures. Now, I'm not saying you can't get the right solution, but it's a lot harder if they're basing it on a corrupt mainstream medicine. So it's like the old computer acronym, GIGO, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. As long as the legal systems are driven by a corrupt mainstream medicine, that's your garbage in, you're going to get a high percentage of questionable results, garbage out.
So where do we go from here when it comes to the legal realities that we face? You know, on one hand, they always have an excuse why. In other words, they say, well, the pro-death policy of abortion makes sense because a woman can do what she wants with her body, and therefore, it's, you know, one, she has her choice, and two, it's not really human. We're going to debate the term. Now, when it comes to the vaccine, somehow we've determined that this, quote, herd immunity not only is not a debatable issue, but it's a fact. And secondly, you must kind of acquiesce to that fact with your own body. At what point are we going to say, well, if we're going to debate whether a person is real life or alive or not, and then what about debating this herd immunity mentality? It's not a proven fact in any stretch of the imagination. In fact, you could say that vaccines, because they actually give somebody a little bit of the sickness to supposedly launch the immune system into attacking it or defending, that you almost might create herd immunity outbreaks of sickness. The debate is still up big time in the scientific world for those who have an honest mind and a real scientific method, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And let's take a look just for a second about back at this industry that routinely engages in massive criminal behavior. Sam, do you think an industry that engages in billion-dollar crimes? Now, I don't know about you or your listeners, but I cannot wrap my mind around $1 billion. I understand the numbers. I'm really good at math. But on a personal level, I just can't fathom how much money $1 billion is. And this is an industry...
Well, let's just put it this way. You could count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 your whole lifetime and never get there, right?
Yeah, I could spend it faster than I could count it, but I think I'd have trouble spending $1 billion, frankly. You know, might take me the rest of my life just to figure out what to do with it. And this is an industry that engages in billion-dollar crimes. So here's the question, Sam. Do you think an industry that engages in $100 million and billion-dollar crimes might deliberately mislead the general public or the mainstream media or what the heck, even legislators?
Well, we have many times evidence that they already have, right?
Well, the fact that they have committed these wrongdoings and they've been held accountable and paid the fines. you know, part of the difficulty in...
But legally, they've paid the fines but admitted no wrongdoing, right? See, that's the legal system for you.
There would not be a fine, I call it... First of all, in order to distinguish criminal behavior from civil liability, where you are negligent, let's say, and you're still responsible for the consequences, but it wasn't something you did on purpose. What distinguishes crimes from civil liability is that with a crime, there's a requirement that you had what they call the mens rea, which is just a Latin phrase, which means criminal intent. In other words, you knew what you were doing and you did it anyway. That is a, by definition, part of crime and something that has to be proven when these issues go to court, criminal court, in order for somebody to be convicted. Now, when they pay a fine, that's usually some sort of a settlement arrangement. But in calling it a criminal fine, by definition, what we're saying is they knew what they were doing when they did it. They did it anyway. So from one level, Sam, it's just a simple, cold calculating formula. Let's see, we can make $9 billion here. We'll, if we get caught, we'll pay a $2 billion criminal civil fine. Let's see, that $7 billion profit. Okay, we can do this. That's the kind of mentality that goes on behind this. But when this happens in the healthcare world, in the pharmaceutical industry, people suffer and die as a result. And those lives are just numbers on a spreadsheet to the people who make these decisions. And that's
those lives don't really matter, right? You know, like they say, black lives matter, but, you know, those lives really don't matter. You know?
Well, and this is the bottom line. We are expendable. And there's another analogy back to the abortion issue. You know, these are, oh, they're not born yet, so they're expendable. There's a certain kind of mentality, you know, that people have. And again, I just keep coming, it's the first time I ever thought of it this way, just when I was listening to the introduction before I came on this morning. And, well, gosh, is it really your body once you have another being inside of it, or is it another being that is using your body? And when you think of it in those terms, it just frames the whole thing differently. Yeah, you can do whatever you want with your body, but not another body. You know, you can't murder someone outside of the womb. So if you recognize or regard that...
There's actually professors even now saying you can for a period of, quote, buyer's remorse. I mean, what do you call it? Time, right? I know this sounds like a joke, but these professors are serious about this.
You know, you have to wonder.
I know it sounds laughable, but they literally are trying to codify some of this stuff into law.
It's bizarre. And the disturbing thing, Sam, is that...
I don't know if I call it buyer's remorse. I might say... What kind of remorse would you call it? I don't even know how to go there exactly.
Lover's remorse, huh?
Okay. Good. Well, ouch. Wow. Lust remorse? Because it might not even be lover's remorse. So you might love the kid and want to keep it, you know?
Yeah. That,
I mean, it gets crazy so fast, it's hard to even have these discussions almost. When it comes to the fraud, when it comes to the manipulation, the whole purpose of government should be to protect life, right?
Well, Sam, what makes it difficult for me to have some of these conversations is that I can't wrap my mind around the fact that we even need to have the conversation in the first place. Vaccines can injure and kill you. If there's a risk, there has to be a choice. How could it ever be otherwise?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, if there's a risk, there must be a choice. Liberty Roundtable Live, Alan Phillips, VaccineRights.com, PandemicResponseProject.com, on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, attorney at law Alan Phillips riding shotgun on the broadcast today. We're talking about, can I do what I want with my body? Do I get to choose what I do with my body? Asks this woman to Donald Trump, but they leave Hillary and Bill out of it. Very strange. There is a disconnect in terms of how we can behave. They want to somehow make certain facts that aren't facts be facts so they can then control the argument. The problem is we need to intelligently fight that false narrative. We need to also realize that there are legal definitions and legal terms that might change the discussions more than we'd like, because there are certain things that are codified into law, taken for granted, whatever you want to call it, that change the game. And then we need to understand all this when it comes to our vaccine rights, Alan.
We do, and because ultimately, all of these debates sit within a legal framework, and what you can ultimately do or not do with your body or another body in your body or however you want to think of it is going to depend on what laws are on the books and how the terms in those laws are defined for purposes of those laws. And this is a really interesting point. A lot of people don't understand. A lot of statutes will have sections with definitions. They'll list terms. Here's how the terms are defined in this group or set of statutes. And there's a general rule in law that if the definitions are not spelled out in the statutes, you know, for this section of the statutes, because of course they're not going to define every single term in there, then you the default is you give it the standard dictionary definition. Well, we lay people talking about legal issues often will assume standard dictionary definitions of terms when maybe they are defined differently in the statutes for purposes of the law. So this can be another source of confusion on legal issues.
And maybe they're defined wrongfully. For example, assuming that this herd mentality when it comes to vaccines, in other words, if I take a vaccine, it protects somebody else who hasn't or somebody else who has. In other words, there's this, quote, groupthink scenario in there. That's not codified in definition. That's basically a debatable scientific assertion, what some call it a hypothesis. Some even might go as far to say it's a great theory, but it certainly isn't codified as scientific fact. Nevertheless, definitions are defined to many degrees as if it is, right?
Well, this again goes back to the idea I was saying earlier that the health policy and law is driven by mainstream medicine, so it will... The default there would be whatever the mainstream medical views or definitions are. But underneath that, of course, is the point that you're making, that a lot of these mainstream medical quote-unquote facts really aren't supported by the science. And, of course, you know, this is nothing new to you or your listeners, but we live in a world increasingly where large corporations are driving policy and law, probably more so at the federal level than the state level, but certainly both levels. And we've got to wake up to this, because in the case, for example, of vaccines, they're doing this with complete disregard to the safety and health and well-being of people. In fact, to the detriment, I would argue, and many others would as well. So it's not just a question of, oh, we're not paying attention, but I don't have stock in that company, so I don't care if that were the case. It is all of us are being affected by vaccine policy and law, for example. I was just looking at some figures this morning from a recent quarter, the end of last year, beginning of this year, of the vaccine injury compensation program payouts. This is an industry, I mean a system set up by the federal government that for over 25 years now has been paying out money because of people injured and killed by vaccines. And we are now, over the last 6 years, Sam, paying out on average over $227 million a year. This is more than twice the average over the length of the program that it's been paying out, about 25 years. The number of vaccines that are being administered in the U.S. has been steadily rising over the last couple of decades.
And I would submit to you that it's about to even skyrocket further. They got a lot in the works. They're pushing the envelope in every way possible. And so that number is going to dwarf. I mean, it's going to be into the billions. But yet, if I bring it up, they say you're a kook and you don't have any credentials.
Yeah, it's really odd. The CDC can say with a straight face, vaccines are safe and effective, go get your vaccines. And yet the U.S. Supreme Court said as recently as 2011 that vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. They're not simply unsafe, they're unavoidably unsafe.
So here's the question. If the court says they're unavoidably unsafe, but yet the medical establishment runs around and says they're safe, could we sue their socks off for, I don't know if you'd call it professional malfeasance or inappropriate or
fraud,
deceptive conduct, fraud. I don't know what level you want to rise it to, but wouldn't there be accountability somewhere? I mean, right now the FDA runs around, and if you have a health food product that's a natural herb or something, and you claim that it does something that it clearly doesn't do, or that there's no proof or not enough evidence that it does, testimonials don't count. They claim that, hey, you're not allowed to say or do that, but yet they can say and do what they want to. How does that all work?
Well, this goes back to the industry controlling policy and law. The pharmaceutical industry was the vaccine manufacturing portion of the pharmaceutical industry was actually going out of business in the early 1980s and mid-1980s because of the lawsuits and the payouts from those lawsuits for injury and death caused by the vaccines. So they got Congress to pass a law saying, okay, you're no longer liable because, as I would say facetiously, we can't risk putting an end to these vaccine injuries and deaths, but you know, by having the industry go out of business. So they now have no liability. Now they are supposed to be making safer vaccines, but what incentive do they have?
But I'm talking about even the physicians that claim, like the American Medical Association or the Food and Drug Administration, that claims these are safe and effective. Forget the vaccine companies or the manufacturers. What about the doctors, the physicians, these organizations? Don't they have accountability? They can't just make these false claims, can they?
Well, there's two different things going on here. The freedom from liability extends not just to the manufacturers, but to anybody administering vaccines. And so nobody in the system has any accountability as a matter of law. This is another example of where we as a society, and I'm not saying this necessarily in any sort of condescending way, but we as a society have been asleep at the wheel. And what has happened when we're not paying attention and not involved, and who has the time and, you know, energy to do that? So, again, I'm not faulting people, but this is the consequence of not being involved, is that the big businesses set up laws to favor themselves. So, yes, nobody has accountability, and appalling would be the understatement. The policies and laws do not reflect the real science, but then there's a whole separate issue about the corruption within the medical publishing industry, and we've had editors from some of the world's leading medical publications come forward in recent years, and even this year, with the chief editor of The Lancet, people coming forward saying, that we can no longer trust the medical literature. There's so much corruption within that system. There's so much money involved that a good study that has a bad finding for a pharmaceutical product is very unlikely to ever see the light of day in a publication. Because
well, and government, government has promoted that narrative and created a moral imperative. They've created a moral problem here. Look, if I don't have any liability, and if I can with impunity lie about the truth, and there's no accountability on my part, to say, I mean, I can say they're effective when they're not. Why can't I fudge the literature, sir? I mean, the literature's only going along with what the government says I can do, which is going along with the huge payouts that the government pays to defend this psychotic, deceptive agenda. Why wouldn't I be able to create scientific literature to match that reality? So what I'm saying is they've created this genesis for this, haven't they?
The industry has systematically, over a period of many years, probably decades, infiltrated all the different parts and pieces of the system to manipulate and control it to create one degree or another of deception or misrepresentation to serve its private agendas. So we have a very complex, tangled web of corruption, bottom line. And we as a society have been unaware of that and therefore not taken the steps that would be necessary to curtail that or prevent it altogether. And so what is getting our attention is more and more of our children are being disabled or killed. We go to the doctor and we follow the doctor's orders and something horrible happens to our child and nobody told us that was even a possibility, let alone whether or not we had a choice. And laws getting changed so that even if you do figure out what's going on, you still don't have a choice or much of a choice. So the system is, and it's a work in progress, Sam. It's been rolling out step by step over many decades. I think it's been accelerating in recent times, probably because more and more people are realizing what's going on and speaking out. And so they have to work even harder to keep this under wraps. There's no middle ground, though, from the industry's point of view. You know, it's not like they can compromise and say, yeah, there are some problems, but here's why we should do it anyway. They have to take this all-or-nothing position of, no, they're perfectly safe and fine, because once that door opens a crack, the floodwaters are going to burst it wide open. And these people are going to be in serious trouble when it becomes more widely recognized, the serious problems.
Conscientious objectors and religious reasons have been the safe haven for those who don't believe vaccines are safe and effective and who don't want to put toxic man-made serum in their body. Choice is an issue here, ladies and gentlemen. And people have been using religion and this conscientious objection for a long time, but that's even becoming debatable ground. We'll talk about it.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. And order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, shifting gears slightly. We're talking about vaccinerights.com, pandemicresponseproject.com. Alan Phillips, our guest. I don't know if I had to say it used to be sacred ground, but no longer so. Religious and conscientious objections. It's all up for grabs now, Alan.
Well, sadly, it is, because ultimately where the rubber meets the road on the vaccine controversy is primarily in the state legislators. I mean, when the government or increasingly employers now requiring vaccines, there's either a law that says you have the right to refuse or there isn't. And what we see going on around the country in recent months is legislators working to restrict or even completely remove entirely non-medical vaccine exemptions as they pertain to school and daycare enrollment. We had two really big losses in this arena, one in California and the other in Illinois. In California, they are now phasing out the non-medical exemptions over a period of a few years, but the law to do that is now in place. And in Illinois, severe restrictions on the ability to exercise a religious exemption, and that are in my opinion, blatantly unconstitutional. But sadly, legislators can pass any law they want to, constitutional or not, because a law is not formally unconstitutional until a court says so.
And that is different from what most Americans think, because we think, well, if it's unconstitutional, by golly, it's unconstitutional. From a legal perspective, that's not true. It's assumed such, or assumed no one knows until it's challenged and or the courts decide. Now, I think that's a wrong-headed approach based on the checks and balances in America. Nevertheless, legally, that's been kind of the standard for the last 1,500 years, which has kind of got us in trouble.
Yeah, and the way they frame it or phrase it, they say there's a presumption that the law is constitutional, that we presume that the legislatures are going to do the right thing in that respect. And some legislatures have a constitutional filter on their bills, if you will. They will have them go up to a judicial committee. But, of course, they see, hundreds of bills every year, and they don't have the time to be up to speed and experts on every issue that comes in front of them. But as far as I can tell, not even every state has that kind of a filter.
And I say they need to basically justify the constitutionality of a bill before it ever even gets considered. And that should be the fiduciary responsibility of the legislators to bring that out and debate that and justify what they passed. Nevertheless, sadly, that's not the case, and we the people don't hold our representatives to that standard as we ought. Now, you wrote an incredible article, Alan Phillips, Catholic Schools Change Policies on Religious Exemptions, Take Action Now. That's the title. That's why I say this debate is starting to affect religions. It's starting to affect schools, even private schools. Man, it's hard to even know where to go here in terms of defending our rights, isn't it?
They're hitting us on so many different levels, and it's been so violative on a personal level of people involved. There's a trend around the country now. It's not exclusively Catholic schools, but what I'm seeing in my practice is predominantly Catholic schools. Parents with children in Catholic schools getting a hold of me saying that the church and the school has just said all of a sudden that they're no longer accepting religious exemptions. And the what is so egregious about this is that in every state this has happened, and I go in and I research the law and analyze it, that it is sometimes, in fact, far more often than not, blatantly obvious that the law as written applies to all schools, public and private and religious, that they have to allow religious exemptions. So something's going on in the Catholic hierarchy somewhere in the politics where they're just basically thumbing their noses at the law now. Now, they can get away with this most of the time because what parent's going to sue a school to force the school to accept their children, especially if it's a church school where they have been a member of the church maybe for generations or for years or whatever. So it's a conflicting and confusing thing. But there's a family in Florida that felt strongly enough about this, they took it to court. Now, I was not involved at the trial court level, but they lost at the trial court level. Now they're taking the case up on appeal. And I did read the court's opinion. And Sam, I don't mean any disrespect for the court here, and I don't know if maybe the attorneys who presented the case didn't present the case well.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, really quick, listen carefully to what Alan's about to tell you. Go ahead, sir.
The court just flat out got it wrong, in my opinion. And I've researched this issue several times in several states to see how the legal arguments work. Sam, as a starting place, it's a real simple idea legally. And it's two steps. The first step is, does the law, the way it's worded, apply to all schools or not? And that could potentially, the answer could potentially vary from state to state. But in every state that I've looked at so far, it's crystal clear. And in Florida, it spells it right out. There's no reading between the lines you have to do to figure it out. So it's absolutely crystal clear with this case in Florida that the law as written applies to Catholic schools. Well, then there's only one other question you can ask. Is there some reason that this law, even though it is written to include the private and religious schools, that it would not be enforceable? And the only way it would not be enforceable would be if this involved some sort of ecclesiastical issue within the church, if it's somehow the government's passing this law as it applies to a private religious school was somehow interfering with that church's religious beliefs, religious freedom, and so forth. Well, this is a simple administrative matter. It has absolutely nothing to do with the church doctrine. Whether every child has to be documented, they either have their vaccines or they don't, or they either have a religious exemption or they don't. And it's the same thing whether you're counting, do they have the certificate of immunization, or you're counting, do they have an exemption? So it really is, to me, on that level, a no-brainer. But somehow the church convinced the court that their rights were being violated and the parents didn't have any rights. And so they're going up on appeal. Sam, very seldom am I jumping behind a lawsuit and saying, let's fight this in court, because I think most vaccine issues really do need to be dealt with at the legislative level. We have to pass laws.
Before that, in the court of public opinion with transparency and facts.
Yes, yes. Supported by transparency and facts, because that's how we'll get the right laws. So absolutely, the two go hand in hand. But there, every once in a while, there's a case that I think has the potential to make a difference. And this case, if it goes up on appeal and wins, will have potentially a cooling effect throughout the country. It'll get private schools to back off on this issue. And it is a national issue. It's happening all over the country. These folks need help. They can't afford the appeal. So I want to tell folks, if this is something that your heart tells you is the right thing to do, please support $1, $5, whatever. There's a GoFundMe page. It's GoFundMe.com, and then you just do a search on that homepage for the name of the father and husband in this family, and his name is Patrick Flynn, F-L-Y-N-N. So GoFundMe.com and search for Patrick Flynn, and the second or third one that comes up in the list there will be Save Religious Exemptions. It'll be obvious.
Here's what I think's happened. The government and the medical industry has somehow put pressure on the church. The church, for whatever reason behind the scenes, has caved. And now what you got is the citizen against the church. The government stands to benefit in the middle. It's the standard Hegelian dialectic plan where the only answer is always government or more regulation or more control. But the sad part is you got religions now pitted against their parishioners. What's the term I should use? Their followers, congregants, whatever.
Yeah, church members who are devoted, dedicated to their church, as I said, sometimes for lives or even generations, and then all of a sudden they feel like the church is turning against them. And not just because they disagree on the issue, but because they're doing this in blatant defiance of the law that requires the religious and private schools to accept the religious exemptions. So it's really it's really hurtful for these parents, but it's also something that is another erosion of our constitutional rights. And this is happening many ways and levels with vaccines, and of course, as you well know, Sam, in other arenas as well. We're losing our fundamental constitutional rights piece by piece in multiple arenas, and we have to say the buck stops here before it's too late.
If you want to get involved and learn more about what Alan's dealing with, support some of the efforts, etc., GoFundMe.com. The guy's name is Patrick Flynn, F-L-Y, two N's?
Two N's.
Flynn, F-L-Y-N-N. Check that out. Also go to PandemicResponseProject.com to keep an eye on a lot of the vaccine news stories. Also go to VaccineRights.com to find out how you can participate. The answer, folks, is in the court of public opinion with transparency and facts supporting the discussion. And I don't mean manipulated government type, whatever you want to call it. I'm talking about real facts. And then, as we discuss this in the public arena, we then legislatively get involved to make sure that we defend our rights, whether they are religious rights, whether they're conscientious objector rights. I don't think that we need to define how our rights are. What if I just say no and I'm not religiously doing so and I don't really even have a conscientious objection? Do I have the right just to say no because I don't want to do that? It's my body. Do I have that right? And the answer currently, legislatively and according to law, is not really, right?
Yeah, I mean, we only have that right if there's a law saying so, and that's why it's important for us to become legislatively active and involved if we want to have those rights. And I work with legislative activists around the country, so people are welcome to contact me.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't call me and say that's not true. Sam, what he's talking about isn't correct. I understand what you're going to say. You're going to say, Sam, just because there's not a law defending a God-given right, that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. You're correct in fact. You're wrong legally, though. That's the whole point. And we need to look towards making those two match. And accountability starts with you and me, ladies and gentlemen. Getting involved is the answer. Last word to you, Alan.
Well, Sam, thank you so much for allowing me to be here today. Yeah, we either get involved or we lose. That's really, I think, how it sums up.
Sad to say, I concur. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Take care.
Alan Phillips, ladies and gentlemen, great author, writes for Liberty Roundtable and many other publications. He stands up for your rights. Again, I don't want you to think that we're caving on this or that we go to the legal field for everything for definitions. We don't, except for they tend to mandate their agenda, don't they? So we better learn to play in their field and win. And if we don't, we're going to lose, as Alan Phillips wisely articulated. Thanks for being along for the ride. We the people can restore America. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.